And this evening's reading comes from 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 1 to 11 and 16, and can be found on page 310 of the Church Bibles. After the king was settled in his palace, and the Lord had given him rest from all his enemies around him, he said to Nathan the prophet, "Here I am, living in a palace of cedar, while the ark of God remains in a tent." Nathan replied to the king, "Whatever you have in mind, go ahead and do it, for the Lord is with you." That night, the word of the Lord came to Nathan, saying, "Go and tell my servant David, this is what the Lord says. Are you the one to build me a house to dwell in? I have not dwelt in a house from the day I brought the Israelites up out of Egypt to this day. I have been moving from place to place with a tent as my dwelling. Wherever I have moved with all the Israelites, did I ever say to any of their rulers whom I commanded to shepherd my people Israel, 'Why have you not built me a house of cedar?' Now then, tell my servant David, this is what the Lord Almighty says. I took you from the pasture and from following the flock to be ruler over my people Israel. I have been with you wherever you have gone, and I have cut off all your enemies from before you. Now I will make your name great, like the names of the greatest men of the earth, and I will provide a place for my people Israel, and will plant them so that they can have a home of their own and no longer be disturbed. Wicked people shall not oppress them any more, as they did at the beginning, and have done ever since the time I appointed leaders over my people Israel. I will also give you rest from all your enemies. The Lord declares to you that the Lord himself will establish a house for you. Your house and your kingdom shall endure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The Gospel reading is from Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 38, and can be found on page 1026 of the Pew Bibles. That's Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 38. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so that the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her.
The Christmas is characterized by incredible misconceptions. And one of them is if you take, for example, the Christmas number ones songs. The current one is about sausages, for those who are familiar with these things. All right. There has been 67 years of number ones, and only 12 of them have any relationship with Christmas, and very few have any specific relationship to the birth of Christ. So when the Times produced a survey of that yesterday, the headline is, "When Baby Jesus Comes with Sleigh Bells and the disco beat. Another example of misconceptions is when, some years ago, after I was ordained, I had to top and tail the Home Field Preparatory School Christmas concert in St Paul's Howell Hill. And it was an extraordinary performance by all the different groups in the church, in the school, the jazz band, the wind band, the choir, the ensemble, and all these other things. And an incredible performance was put on. The finale at the end was almost the entire school on the stage, and they thumped out the extraordinary song, Santa Claus is Coming to Town. And when they all sat down, the headmaster walked up and said, in the traditional language, St. John unfolds the mystery of the incarnation. And I had to top that off or tail that off, and I kind of had that moment of inspiration that you sometimes get, where I said, well, great performance by everybody tonight, including this last one, but we do need to ask ourselves the question, who really came to town that Christmas night? And we're characterized by that, and yet each year we are invited to make the journey to Bethlehem. I've been to that little town 5 times. Getting into Bethlehem these days is not straightforward. And in fact, a survey was done some years ago by a BBC reporter who rode on a donkey from Nazareth to Bethlehem. And they listed in the report X number of roadblocks and checkpoints that they had to pass through. And it occurs to me that as we make our journey to Bethlehem, we can go through a series of checkpoints. And think of them. A bit, if I may change the metaphor, like unwrapping the presents and taking off the layers. So what are the checkpoints on this road to Bethlehem? Well, one of them is money. The estimate is that even in these hard-pressed times, the average spending per person will amount to something like between £300 and £500. In this country, every Christmas, we spend over £100 million on giving Christmas presents to our pets. A huge proportion of spending, now of course going on the internet, is basically absorbing our spending and our economy. And the Bible reminds us, of course, that the Lord Jesus Christ, though he was rich, yet for our sake he became poor, that we through his poverty might be rich. And this barrier, this checkpoint, you see, these checkpoints are an opportunity to pause and to reflect. And so my first point of reflection, if you like, is the checkpoint of money. The second checkpoint on my journey, my imaginary journey to Bethlehem, is the checkpoint of what I would call magic. Remember all the trappings of the Christmas story, December the 25th, the pagan midwinter solstice or festival. The mistletoe, the Yule log, good luck signs for a pagan world. Now, they've been Christianized, of course, by the church over the centuries. We wouldn't take the view, I think, probably even here in St. Mary's, like the Puritans who abolished Christmas and wouldn't let Christmas be celebrated, because we have, in fact, baptized these things in some ways. But having said all that, how easy it is to surround Christmas with a lot of sentiment. The whole story oozes with sentiment. A wicked king, shepherds, angels, secret messages, an extraordinary journey. And so I commend to us tonight that we reflect again beyond the sentimental view of Christmas. So the first checkpoint is money. The second checkpoint is magic. The third checkpoint is mess. It was a messy business being born in those circumstances, as the song we've just sung talks about the squalor of a borrowed stable, whatever context we might understand that. It's been my privilege to live and work in some parts of the third world and to see poverty in all its form. I'm very glad that Vanessa prayed for, you know, Christians against poverty and those who work for the relief and the needs of a world. And we need to remember the cost it was and the mess it was for our Lord Jesus Christ to come into our world. So my first checkpoint, if you like, was money. The second is magic. The third is mess. But the fourth one and the final one is to reflect just for a moment on the meaning and the significance of what we do. And we can look beyond all these trappings and say that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. And how significant that is, and how important that is, and how vital that is, that we continue to affirm the Christian faith and the Christian gospel. The Times today carried a leader article on the importance of faith in our community, in our country, written from a standpoint of saying that wherever there is poverty, wherever there is need, wherever there are the lonely, wherever there are the prisoners, wherever there are those who are doubting and fearful, he said, that is where you find the church. And the second article, unrelated to that, was another one by one of the columnists that said, I'm one of these people who goes to church once or twice a year. You know, C of E, Christmas and Easter, and so on. And she says the same message, it's identical virtual message, that actually in the need of our world, that is where the light shines strongly. And I want to commend that to you tonight as we make that journey. As the old words of these services used to say, let's go again to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass. Amen. Let's keep a moment of quiet together.